I Dream of Indie is bringing a voice to the voiceless ones in gaming. Free yourselves from the shackles of mainstream coverage and help us to defeat the gaming echo chamber once and for all. Head on over to youtube.com/idreamofindie or idreamofindie.com. I Dream of Indie, a place where games are more than a number.
Hello. Welcome to the I Dream of Indie podcast with our new name. What was our new name?
I believe it was the Sweaty Balls.
No. No, I think it was Escaping the Echo Chamber.
It's yeah.
Outside of the Echo Chamber.
Oh, outside. Oh,
there you go.
Outside of the Echo Chamber. Yeah, that sounds better. But I like Sweaty Balls. We can run with that if you
want. I'm on board with Sweaty Balls.
All right. Also known as the Sweaty Balls podcast. Hello.
Sweaty Balls Committee. Welcome to the Sweaty Balls Committee. I'll be your host. I don't have.
So I am Literary Rose. The rest of us, hello. Let's start with SS. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Silent Signs.
Yes, I'm Legend of the Star. Hello, hello.
Of course, I'm Alan. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Alan.
We have not had him before, right?
Nope. This is your first podcast with us, right?
Yes, yeah, the first time doing this with this crew.
I say that like we've done so many. This is our third one. So this is still a work in progress. We barely even know what this show's called. So welcome.
Welcome. So I Dream of Indie, if you are here and somehow not aware of the channel, well, we have a YouTube channel. We review and stream indie games. Generally, you know, me and SS and Alan, we're doing reviews. Legend is our dedicated streamer of the indies on Mondays and Fridays, 8 p.m. usually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So here we talk more about indie games and related topics. Let's start first. We'll talk about the stories afterwards, but how is everyone's week doing?
Who wants to go first? You want to share your highs and your lows of the week? That's what we do on business meetings and my job.
Ew.
I know.
Well, my high of the week was honestly not streaming. I decided to take a couple of days off because of all the co-streams that I've been doing and all the live events and stuff. I was like, why do I need to overwork myself? It's not really that big of a deal.
You've done a lot.
It's weird. It was like back to back, which usually it's fine for me. Like, I don't mind, you know, I love this stuff, so I don't mind doing it. But it was just like when you sit at your computer and you're questioning why you're there, you know, when you're having like these thoughts, well, you know, I don't really have to. I mean, this content's enough, you know, and I have to learn to take breaks and step away. And my lows would have to be my little air conditioner not working. I cried a little bit. I was very sad. I love this thing. If it dies again, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I did a warranty. So if anything That's happens smart. To it, it'll get replaced.
Good. Warranty's finally working in favor.
Yes.
Alan, how was your week?
Good. Not over yet, but as I stated when I did my not for broadcast review, I do like actual broadcasts through at my job. It's my main duty now. So I had two today, and the big one was our for the company I'm doing it for, their Juneteenth celebration. So there was it was actually a lot of fun. There was a lot of pressure on it because it's a big thing. And they had a guest speaker come in, and I'm basically just taking all their camera feeds virtually and slides and everything and video and mixing it and spitting things out, hopefully in the correct order. And it went really well, and I was happy because it was like the big one this week. I didn't want anything to go wrong, and it went completely smooth. So it was a lot of fun.
Oh, that sounds so awesome. Oh, my God. You're like the puppet master of all the cameras and all the feeds.
Pretty much.
Excellent. Silent Signs, how has your week been?
I mean, that's way cooler than what I do. I started a new job on Monday, which like it's actually the same place that I work at, but just a different position in that place. So it's just a lot of not knowing what I'm doing. And that has carried through the rest of my week. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm having like an existential crisis. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like a lot of people can relate. I don't know. I know Joe and I certainly had like a breakdown this week, and we're like, okay, let's like focus. I think all of our stuff needs some focus. And we had a lot of like hard conversations about how we can make that a thing. So that's been my week, but I'm here now. We survived. And hopefully we'll have better content because of it, because we hired an editor, a video editor, which is freaking awesome. Yeah. So that's a huge help. I don't know if you've noticed that the quality of our videos has improved in the last week, and that would 100% be why. It's a huge pressure off of all of us. And I mean, it's just awesome. So
the editor does fantastic. The videos look so snappy and just like,
yeah.
like the stuff I watch a lot of YouTube. So it reminds me of other content from like bigger channels.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm like in awe. I'm like, how do you do this and so quickly? Because it takes me like hours to edit a simple video. So all the credit in the world to this guy. He's doing awesome work for us.
And they've really sort of like just become part of the community too, which is really cool. Like he's really just sort of like hanging out in the Discord and vibing with everyone and talking to everyone. And that's really nice, I think, when you have someone that's new to the team, engaging with everyone else and seeing how they respond to one another really sort of makes it like, all right, cool. You know, like you've made a really good decision, and I'm glad to hear that you survived. Alan's job sounds cool though. Like, I want to like mix stuff. Like, God, that sounds cool what you do.
It's fun. I will say, cause it's all like conferences, big conventions and whatever the company I working with a pharmaceutical, so I'm not really doing fun stuff, but it's at least like high profile stuff. But dealing with live events and people that aren't like into doing broadcasting, acting, or television or any of that kind of stuff, it can be a little difficult, because like if they want to move around on the stage, they don't understand, don't walk past a certain point or you won't be on camera. So it can be difficult and really stressful, but it is a lot of fun. But I mean, I have the three lunatics in the other room, so I have similar problems here when I'm trying to do voiceover or record anything for the channel.
Alan, can you clarify a little bit who the three lunatics are, so people don't think you just have like hostages in your bathroom?
No. Not yet, anyways. No, I have three budgies, also parakeets, and they're absolutely adorable. I love them dearly, but they just scream nonstop.
Off camera,
I'm sure we'll hear them.
We were petitioning Alan to get bird cam, so hopefully we can make bird cam a thing.
I would love a bird cam. Like, you'd be surprised, like, how many live, I would sit and watch them all day. I really would. My cat would. I know that.
Yeah, mine too. All four of them. You want a captive audience?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
But you know, the birds, they love to scream, and you know, they're your little lunatics.
I also love to scream, but nobody wants to listen to me do it. So birds it is.
I guess
when you said lunatic, I thought children. I was like, oh yeah, that sounds about right.
I have a niece and I'm fine with that. I'm in no rush to have children. I love them. Don't but me. I love other people's. I can give other people's children back to them. I can't give mine away.
I know. Tell me about it. Yo, now I love my kids, but I have a teenager, so it makes it interesting. Spicy.
We were all teenagers once.
Oh, I know. Uh-huh. That's why I'm like, I'm trying to be as empathetic as possible. There's some things I'm just like, yo, are you serious with me right now?
I know when my niece is finally a teenager, knowing how my sister was and I was as a teenager, I'm just going to have a bowl of popcorn ready for every time she calls me. It's going to be entertaining.
Just to hear all the gab.
Well, I've been my niece. I mean, my sister, when she's freaking out, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I know. Trust me, this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for my week, it has been fairly dull, which I like, but I got some pants today.
What kind of pants? Do you tell?
They're hemp pants. I got them on Etsy and they're really breathable, which I love because I'm a sweaty bitch. So
right.
Oh,
feel that.
It's fantastic.
I feel that on an emotional level.
All right, let's talk about the ways that our audience can support I Dream of Indie. And I was thinking I was gonna go communist with this and divide up the tasks. So we'll go. I will tell who goes next. So first of all, be sure to subscribe, ring the bell notification, because YouTube for some reason doesn't send you videos sometimes, to defeat the echo chamber. And be sure to visit our link with Fanatical. We're partnered with Fanatical, so they have so many deals for so many different indie games. We would read out the link, but you're not going to type it down, and that's okay. I wouldn't either. So instead, you can just head to the description and we will have the link. But also, you could literally go to any video on the channel and the link to Fanatical or in a community post. We've got it everywhere. Check it out. There are some awesome deals.
All right. So you can join our Indie Warriors for exclusive content over on our YouTube channel, or you can buy some merch on bonfire.com/store/IDreamOfIndie. And if you use the code IDOI20, you can save 10% on any purchase.
Who came up with this code, Joe? Why is it 20 and to save 10%? I'm writing to the powers that be.
Test. Yeah, there should be a solid 20%.
Or maybe we just make it genie one.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. Legend, tell us about Twitter. Tell us about Instagram.
Yes. So you guys have to definitely follow us on both Twitter and Instagram. We post all of our reviews, updates, and I Dream of Indie dailies on there. And you can follow us at twitter.com/IDreamOfIndie. And on Instagram at instagram.com/IDreamOfIndieOfficial. It's official. Make sure you add that. And when you tag us at IDreamOfIndieOfficial, and you'll see our cute little logo. There's quite a lot of indie content creators on there. So make sure you're specific when you like and comment on the pages.
Yes, absolutely. Although we are happy to share audiences with many other great indie lovers and indie fans together. Yes. And finally, Silent Signs tells about...
Yes.
Yes. Anchor and Ko-Fi. Ko-Fi? Coffee.
Coffee. So Anchor is where you can listen to our podcasts, which as a fun little change to our memberships, we are actually going to be releasing video versions of this podcast that you're listening to right now for our indie legends. So it's kind of taking the place of one of our old podcasts, but it's going to be a way more convenient way for those of you who like YouTube to check this podcast out. And who knows, maybe you'll get bird cam in the future, or cat cam, or whatever we decide on. If you want to take it on the go, we can listen to the old anchor.fm/IDreamOfIndie, where you can listen to this podcast on almost any of the podcasting platforms. And if our podcast isn't on the one that you like, let us know and we'll figure out a way to get it on there. And of course, last but not least, you can support us on Ko-Fi if you'd like to make a one-time donation, or if you don't like the whole YouTube membership thing, but you want to give us a little shout out, you can do that too. And it has a little coffee cup on it. And really, I'm just in favor of anything with coffee. So You certainly don't have to support us monetarily, but if you choose to do so, this is a great way to do it. And we appreciate any contributions, even if it's just listening to this or liking a video or subscribing to the channel. Any way you can help is greatly appreciated.
Pat on the back to everyone for contributing to the spiel. Question of the day. If you had made your own indie game, what kind of game would it be? And we have a little extra description here. Pitch it to me with as many details as you'd like to provide.
I wonder who wrote this question. It's so weird. It's so oddly specific.
Well, actually, my daughter had an idea. And it's funny because like she told me this idea years ago. And now I've been seeing games that are like it recently, but she wanted to have a world that was sort of made of clay, and you start out as like this clay ball. And then like, as you progress, like through the levels, I think she was thinking of it to be like more of like a platforming type game. You like pick up materials and then you can sort of like become who you are, I guess. So you can like make choices depending on like how you travel and what obstacles that you face. And then like, you can either become a person or whatever. And it would like clay form like as it went. And that was when, I don't remember what she wanted to call it, but I remember she had like this art book and she was like coloring and drawing and trying to make like diagrams. And this was, I would have to say like maybe maybe 2016, 2017, when I really started to get into streaming and gaming and started to really pay attention to that kind of stuff. And, you know, the kids always kind of are everywhere. You know, you can't, they follow you everywhere and things, especially a parent that they're particularly attached to. And so when she would watch me stream or play video games, I think that's how she sort of came up with the concept. I don't know what you would call it, though.
That's such a cool idea. And you could totally do like claymation cutscenes and stuff. Oh, man,
that would be really cool. And I noticed lately, I can't remember any titles specifically, but I have seen a couple games that are similar to sort of like the claymation style. So it made me like, and then it reminded me of what she had thought of. And so when I told her that, I was like, oh, look, there's this game that has this and that. She was like, a bitch. You know? Oh, that could totally have made it a thing. And I'm like, well, you never know, like, what if their game doesn't take off? You know, not that I wouldn't want, you know, an indie game to progress, but I'm like, you never know, right? I'm like, you're older now.
Yeah,
you know, you could learn coding, go to school, do Unreal Engine, make your own game, like
shoot your shot, know. Kid.
Yeah. And yeah. My youngest daughter, she's always making games on Roblox. Like, she's got one right now. I don't even remember what she called it. But she's been earning a lot of blocks from it because I guess it's been on the front page for a while.
Wow. Nice. Very impressive.
She even makes her own thumbnails too.
Oh my God.
She goes hard. She's like, she's crazy. I don't know what she called it on Roblox or the Bloxburg or whatever, but I think it's on like that part of it. The Block 8. That's what it is. Block 8.
Hmm. We'll have to look it up later. Not that I play Roblox, but. I may know someone who does.
You keep trying to get me to play it. You have to stream out. I know. I'm sorry. I love you, but I'm not streaming the blocks. Like, I'll play.
Let's see if I can find it. I will try. You said it was Blockgate.
No, yeah, I'm Blockgate on Roblox. I don't remember what she. And I don't think she has her phone with her. I can't text her.
Dang, there's a lot of these. Oops. We'll need a direct link from her at some point.
I know. I'll have to share it with you guys.
So that was that's a hard one. That's an actually very thought out one. That's a hard one to compete with or to even come close to. Do we have any other game ideas? I just came up with the question.
I could chime in with one. I actually wanted to work on this when RPG Maker was still like brand new and coming out back on the PlayStation 2. And then my PlayStation 2 died, so I never got a chance to do it. But it was more of like a parody RPG. Like I wanted to like poke fun at like genre tropes of like the chosen one and like all that kind of thing. And I wanted like the beginning area to be like a empire taking over the island that everybody's living on. And the main character trying to like rally people like, hey, they're going to invade. And everybody's like, oh, it's no big deal. It'll never happen. And then as they say that cliche, the enemy troops show up. So the whole opening sequence is trying to rally people to join your cause. And then this epic music plays and the only character that steps forward is a cat. And for like 90% of the game, the cat was going to be the most useless character. But if you stuck with the cat and leveled the cat up, I was going to set it up to have the most powerful magical attacks in the game. Stay with it kind of thing. And there was going to be like a Final Fantasy joke where there was going to be like a hidden boss. And there was going to be at the time, I think it was after Final Fantasy X came out. So there would have been 10 graves and then like a kid running in like, I'm the hero, this is my destiny, this is my story, poking fun at Titus from Final Fantasy X. And then, you know, you're gonna go up to the boss to fight and he's gonna make a vague reference to being that kid's Final Fantasy is he's just a corpse on the grounds. So it was gonna be really dumb, but I wanted it to be a lot of fun and just be a serious story while just poking fun at all the different tropes and stuff in the genre.
That sounds super fun.
This is very you should well make. Out.
Yeah, I mean, I can get RPG Maker 47 Deluxe Edition. I should probably just download it and learn it.
One day. But we'll need to see that parody game. Absolutely. That sounds fun. And I always like things that involve writing. So I'm sure it's going to be really engaging to concoct.
So would you make a writing game, Rose?
No. No, I don't want to read. I don't want to read more writing. I've done enough of that for the past like 3 or 4 years. Instead, my game pitch, but this game pitch also involves future technology that doesn't exist, would be a VR game where you eat and you can taste the food.
Yes.
That is a great idea. Don't they have those lickable televisions? Maybe this is the not so distant future. I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Craving ice cream. Hop into the game. I have food on the brain. I've been limiting my food for sort of reasons. And I've never been so sad in my life. All I think about is eating.
Well, you should make that game a reality then. This could happen.
I'm sending my dog on it. He's the smartest baby that's ever babied.
He will figure it out.
Yes, much smarter than the rest of us in the family.
My cats are the smartest member of my family, to be fair. They just sit around all day while I feed them and pet them. And they have to do nothing but be cute. So who's the real winner here?
The cats. Absolutely. Well, you came up with the question.
You know, my mind was blank when I came up with this question, but if I had to pitch an idea,
you must pitch an idea or your life is over.
Okay. So I like platformers. I like cats. I like dinosaurs. Let's make a game. Platforming game with dinosaurs and cats. So maybe they're time traveling cats, right? And they have to survive in the prehistoric times. There would be a lot of nice pastel colors because I like that too. And I would commission my favorite band to do the soundtrack because I've seen them do soundtracks for movies before. So I think that they could make a soundtrack for a game and I just want to see it happen. That's my game. I'm sticking to it.
That's a really good pitch under pressure in 2 seconds. Dinosaurs, cats, going back in time. Let's go.
Yeah.
And also know. Who's doing the score as well? Damn.
Well, you gotta plan ahead here.
Clearly, I'm indie devs. You have someone here for ideas. Pick her brain.
I have no funding or actual concepts, but I can think of shit on the spot. So hire me.
Yeah. I have no talent, time, or money, but I have ideas. Someone can buy them from me, please.
Someone give me money, please. I swear. All right. So let's talk about the videos that were featured on I Dream of Indie this week. Now, we haven't... Did any of us? Oh, yes. Old Skies and Silent Signs. I believe you reviewed that one.
Yeah. So I did 2 games this week. I did Old Skies, Gameplay Impressions, and Zorro the Chronicles. But we'll do Old Skies first. That one is a point-and-click adventure game from Wadjet Eye, which they also made Primordia. And, they didn't make it. They published it. And why can't I think of the other game right now? It's one of my favorites, Strangeland. There it is. And this is a point-and-click in that kind of same vein, very witty, very cool, time travel-y. I think I talked a little bit about it last week when we were talking about this.
Yes.
The impressions finally went live, but I very much like this. I like what I've played so far and I can't wait to actually play the game when it comes out. But the other game I covered this week was Zorro, the Chronicles, which is a Zorro game, as you would expect. Based on a 2015 to 2016 animated version of Zorro that came out in France, somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, I saw the developer's Twitter page and half of it was in French and the tweets are in French, so probably France.
So I wasn't too familiar with this series. I know like Zorro, like Antonio Banderas Zorro. I don't know this Zorro. He seems a little less cool to me.
A little more child friendly, yeah. Perhaps
this is definitely a family friendly version of Zorro. Pretty chill, not very hard, weird animations, and also no settings for some reason, like no visual settings whatsoever.
Really? That's weird. Yeah,
what you strange. See is what you get. Like there was nothing I could do. Like that was it. That was that's the game.
That's very interesting. But you know, the visuals, I don't know if anyone here is familiar with the show, but it's a kid's show. The Miraculous Ladybug. Yes. I think it was,
yes.
And that's what I was thinking about when I saw this. So then I was like, when I saw on Twitter, then there was a French developer and, you know, Miraculous is a French show. I was like, oh, everything is lining up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That makes total sense.
It does.
Probably not as cool as Miraculous Ladybug, from what I understand. I've heard that's actually pretty good.
It is good, you know, as long as you remember it's a child's show.
Right.
It's not going to have super deep plot, but you can still have a good time. All right. So the last ones we have left here are, well, Legend, we will move to you next, and then we'll go to the ones we haven't covered. So we have live coverage from you of Mini Maker Make a Thing, which was absolutely fantastic to watch.
That game was so much more than I thought it was going to be. Like, I didn't realize I'd have, like, things coming at me, and you're supposed to click them away because the little paintbrushes will come while you're building your stuff, and you have to click them away or they'll add color that you don't want. And then there's some little dude on like a little spinny hat trying to spray paint your stuff. And then nails will come. And it's weird because you can kind of make that as part of your thing that you make, but it really is a game about not being a perfectionist, you know, being able to sort of make stuff that's available to you depending on what type of task that you have to create. And I love the fact that the map looks like a board game. That was really cool. The animation was awesome. I was really surprised. I did not know that it was going to be as interactive as it was. And I've been eyeing this demo for a little while. It's been out for a bit, but I didn't realize that it was going to be released and published by such a large company. So that was really cool to see it announced as part of the Indie Game Fest that we've had all week, right? We had Devolver Digital, and we had The Wholesome, and then we had The Gorilla Collective. Like, there's so many things that have been happening, and then Steam Next Fest is going on now, which I think maybe today is the last day or something like that. But I thought that was fun. Now, with this, though, you have to make sure that you use the pieces that are, like, glowy and called juicy. I guess that's what gives you those points, and then when you fill up those points, it'll unlock different sections. So you really have to play the game like you're supposed to play a game as far as like adding specific pieces, but then you can also sort of add your own touch and flair to it as well, which was really neat. I really liked playing with all of this stuff, and you have to make sure that you click the things. Now, you don't have to click stuff. A lot of times you can just hover your mouse over it. And that'll work. But like the shell that you see come down during the video, that you have to click, and there's these little eyes that you have to click, and the paintbrushes and the obstacles, the balloon, like, what's the dog? Why is the dog coming towards my hot air balloon? I don't know why. What's it, like, I was scared. I was like, are you going to bite it? Are you going to pee on it? What's going on? Why are you coming near my thing? And then it was like these trees that were floating with like smiley faces on it. But what I really liked the most was there was a part in the game where you have to add it. And I think it's called, I forgot what it's called, but it's one of the ones where you have to like, it's neat because it like comes out like one of those vending machines. Like you put a quarter in and it's like the little ball with the object inside, and you can have eyes and you can have heads and you can have noses and like movable parts. And then as you progress in the game, you can unlock more of those. And when you place them on your thing, and then when you place them on your thing, it just like it popped open, and then the little thing came on. Like, I thought that was like the cutest little animation you can, and it made the sound to you like the vending machine. You could hear it kind of click, click, click when you're sort of choosing whatever piece that you want to add to your little thing. And the boss fight was funny. That was funny. That was like hyper speed, all these things coming at you, and you really have to pay attention. And then the booster packs that you get, you can't back out of it. So whatever you click on, that's what you have. And you just kind of add to it as it goes along. You know, I like how everyone in chat was like, put a weenie on it.
Yes.
A weenie.
We demanded the weenie.
And I did. I put a weenie on one. Well, I think I put a weenie on my donut too. You know, I think someone in the comments was like, yeah, you know, put a weenie on my bagel. Like, who doesn't like a weenie on their bagel? You know, weenie's okay.
To be fair, that'd be the first thing I would do. So
right, everyone was like, I think I felt like it was like most of the guys were like, put a weenie on it.
It's always the guy.
Everything I made would have been inappropriate. So I was like, I don't know what to do with this game, but I'm watching this video as we're talking. This looks amazing.
Yeah,
this is so much more fun than I thought it was. And like I said, it's really all about not being a perfectionist, like just kind of making it, having to deal with these obstacles. So it's a lot cuter than I think a lot of people are giving it credit for. And the fact that there's a demo now, you guys can try it. It's been up for a while. You guys can definitely try it. Sometimes demos are only up for a limited time, but I think this one's going to be up for a bit longer. Definitely try it during the Steam Next Fest. Try all the demos available on the Steam Next Fest. There's a huge list. There's a variety of games on there. So definitely check that out as soon as you go to Steam. It should be one of the first things that you see. Click that. That's what I've been doing. I've been grinding a lot of the demos and stuff that I was able to see. Like The Cult of the Lamb, that demo's out.
Wait, that demo's out?
For that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that demo's out. Oh, yeah.
I need to get that. Oh, my God. The footage even is just like such a fever dream. Like, what is even happening? What are those?
I don't know. I don't even know what happened. Because during the hot balloon. Oh, no. It was the boss guy. Like, you have to reach a certain amount of HP in order to even get the dude. And then you get him and he's like all snobby and like stuffy. And then he's like, oh, I can make it better. So out come these hammers. And when it touches your object, it like attaches something to it. So half of what I have on there was like him touching it.
It was so fun to watch you play this. And you know, when I saw some of the list of stuff, I was like, I avoided it because I thought it was going to be something like, I don't know if Little Big Planet is the one I'm thinking of, but there was like a time, it was a fuck ton of like creativity games of like, make what your mind can come up with. And I'm like, my mind can't come up with anything. And the perfectionist in me is also like, but if it would have to be perfect. So this seems like, I really want to play this because I feel like it would push me to like create something and like relax.
There's it does. No perfection. It does push you because a part of me was like, oh my God, can I take this off? Like, or, and I think even hear me like, can I undo this? Can I take this away? And I think you can, but I wasn't paying attention to the instructions. I was just kind of clicking and like adding. I was like, oh, like what mess can I make with this? And a part of me, yeah, like it does. If you're a perfectionist, if you have a lot of, you guys know in content creation, there's, you know, you always go back, you're always triple guessing yourself, especially when it comes to like thumbnails or posting something or editing even, you know. And so it was really hard to let go, but it was fun and like you said, relaxing at the same time.
Well, I think we all need to play this. And God, was that stream just an absolute delight.
It was so much, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely, compared to the last two games I had played, I think V Verizon, I didn't really like too much, and that Decision Red, I don't know what the fuck that was. not my cup of tea, that is for sure. But so this was nice to actually have a game that everyone enjoyed, including me, and to show it off was really cool. But what about you? You did that. What was that, Grindstone?
Oh right. Oh my God, I forgot. Already.
Your stream, yes, on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I was there. You streamed that. How was it? I saw you playing it in the DL on the Discord. I saw it said Grindstone.
Oh, I've been playing ever since. I played today. I played yesterday. I've been playing it nonstop. It's really fun. And what it reminds me of is like, do y'all ever play those kind of games that they're usually like apps and there's usually a fuck ton of like in-game purchases or this or that or ads or whatever that's like matching or some kind of like casual sort of in the background sim where you tap on things like that kind of stuff? This game scratches that itch for me, but with more brain power involved and way, way more style and substance. I like it so much that I'm reading through the fucking logs on all the enemies and the characters because it's so fun and well written that I'm like, oh, I wonder what you have to say about this guy. Oh, turns out they're a piece of shit. Cool.
Rose, did you ever play Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon?
It's on my list.
I feel like you might like it if you enjoyed this. Just kind of the look of it and the vibe of it and the different types of enemies and stuff. I feel like it might also scratch that itch for you.
Ooh, I will definitely be checking that out because I already adored this so much. And it's something I really like about this, thinking about like future and sort of like an adult thing. I don't really like to play games anymore that have me sitting there for like 10 hours to get through a story plot and then
those kind of heavy, dense games. But this one, there's a lot of interesting things going on. The gameplay is really fun and you can pop in and out. You know, it's like, okay, I have a moment. Let me jump real quick into Grindstone and see if I can pass this level or, you know, fight this boss or whatever it may be. Each time you go back to a level, because I've been failing some now, my old strategies aren't working. The game's like, think harder. And the map changes again when you return to it. So you're not stuck with like the same format. Like some things will stay the same, like for the one you're seeing now, you know, if there's going to be crates in the middle, it's going to be crates in the middle, but the different arrangement of the monster color or the monsters, et cetera, will adapt. And sometimes I might get one, I'm like, oh, thank you, game. You've thrown me a softball there and I appreciate it. I could get through this now. Fantastic game and the art style. Oh.
I'm loving the art. My friends are going to get mad at me because I can't remember the guy's name, even though we watched close enough and I love regular show, but it reminds me of that dude's art style.
Yes. I think in the chat we were talking about like, oh, Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, let me pull up because later we unlocked Grandma.
Grandma was amazing. Chat loved Grandma. I love Grandma. She was like foaming at the mouth and she did not forget. Oh, arm day, leg day maybe, but not arm day, that's for sure. Like
this family doesn't believe in leg day, you know, it's arms, it's chest, it's back. Yeah, she's literally foaming. It was incredible. Later we got her outfits. I'll see if I can find that one. It's just a lot of cute little quirky shit that you're just like, yes, thank you for making my life more beautiful.
Now, what was the deal with the crystal? Like you hit something and then you were like teleported to this other world that was like, I remember I stepped away for a moment. I came back and PSC was like outer space.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm here right now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a bonus area. That's kind of like, let's turn off our brain a little and just match things. It's you just getting lots of points. Mm-hmm. Or lots of lodestones. So it's kind of like a farming area if you're lucky enough to get it. I don't know how to trigger to get it. I think it's sort of random. Or if you buy the slop bucket, which is a mechanic that lures the mystic lady in, question mark. But it's really just like, see how big you can make that match. And I'm like, I'm eating absolute shit right now because I could have done... Like now that I've been playing it more, I've had some chains go on for like 40, like basically almost every single one there. If you just pause and consider like, okay, what's the optimal route?
I like it. I really like it. And you looked like you had a lot of, everyone enjoyed it. It was a really cool game to watch you play.
I highly, highly recommend it. Oh, here are the outfits. Cupid Grandma is my favorite one because... So I didn't understand how it worked at first until recently. Basically, every round or two, you'll have some monsters randomly fall in love with each other and jump at each other. And sometimes they just die and just guts fall. But sometimes they give you a heart that will heal any health you've lost. So you don't have to waste more stones at the tavern and things like that. But there's lots of other very funny outfits, the Santa outfit, and I'm just continuing to unlock more. So I would say if any of this sounds even vaguely interesting to you, and if, you know, we should be seeing this in the video, get really great game. Get.
It just added it to my wish list.
I really want to play it as well. You sold me on it.
All right. So what we have last is Cloud Gardens and Meteor World. Oh, and also TMNT Shredder's Revenge. Now, SS, did you play that with Joe?
I did.
Also, tell us things and stuff.
Oh, it's a very good game. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling Joe, and I think like the developers told us, we actually got the pleasure of playing this at PAX a few months back, the demo, and it was fantastic then. And they basically said they want it to play like we remember brawlers being back in the day, like arcade brawlers, but with modern sense and mechanics. So like...
it's basically like playing those games with the nostalgia goggles intact. So like it plays super smoothly. It's super fun to play. It's easy to just like pick up and jump into. You don't have to have this extensive knowledge of gaming to play this. You just mash buttons and have a good time. But if you want to strategize, you know, you have your different combos, you get new moves you can earn, you can unlock another character, you actually level up your characters. If you can see on here, I don't know if you can see on this video, but your characters kind of like level up as you go. And it was a blast. It's so colorful. It is a Turtles game through and through, but like, even if you don't like Ninja Turtles, but you like brawlers, I think you'll like this. My only qualm when we were playing is that like there's flying enemies sometimes, which were like, they had a weird hitbox, like it was hard to hit them. But I think Joe even mentioned it in the review. That was our only point of frustration. But that's always been something that's been hard for me for some reason. Like depth perception is not my thing.
Nope, I don't know.
I don't know if it's me or the game, but I'll say that. That was the only thing that annoyed me. But other than that, I had a blast. We sat and played through the whole thing one sitting. No other complaints.
I'm not a fan of the Ninja Turtles, nothing against them. It just doesn't speak to me. Although I will say the visuals on like everything about this game looks gorgeous. And I imagine that must have been a really hard line to try to ride of like get the nostalgia scratch without, you know, being shitty. Because yeah. I think sometimes, you know, nostalgia goggles might lead you to be like, oh, remember when we played this garbage game? I loved it when I didn't have a brain as a child. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as an adult, you're like, oh, hold up.
Yeah, no, this actually sucks ass. No.
Yeah.
Yep. And I also remember what I mentioned in the stream, because I did the Guerrilla Collective, and this came up as one of the trailers. And I mentioned the stream like, oh, what's the name? The rat with the robe. And I almost got roasted alive. Just like, his name is Shredder.
It's only the title of the game, Rose. Jeez.
Perfect.
Did we watch the videos? Because maybe if we have not had the time to watch, then we'll have to go into in detail. But we have Meteor World, Badge, and Dagger review from Nox, I believe, who... It's always a pleasure to listen to. She has such a Alan and Knox. When I listen to your reviews, I'm like, man, y'all sound like you could be on radio. Like,
that's funny.
I should be on radio. I just unfortunately have not had the opportunity to get in the door anywhere. But...
Well, I will say Knox is a very longtime friend of mine. We've known each other since like seventh grade, and she does work in the field of communications. So it all kind of makes sense. She, is very good at what she does. But yeah, I did watch this video because I was helping get everything together for it. So it's a visual novel, obviously, as you can probably tell. It had this kind of weird effect where all of the other characters had voices, like they all spoke. They were voice acted, spoken Japanese, except the protagonist that you're kind of playing as, there's just silence. So like the conversation sounded supernatural, not supernatural like outer space, but like supernatural. And then there would just be this space of silence that was supposed to be your text, and it like felt very weird. But other than that, it seemed like a well-made visual novel. If you like visual novels a little bit on the darker side, which many are into that, detectives and stuff,
sounds like I'll like this.
Yeah, you might like, maybe give it a go.
It looks very pretty, but I'm not too much, despite reviewing a visual novel and giving it the lamp, like I'm not really big on them unless they do something real weird or interesting. I'll have to check out the review and see if the story of this speaks to me, but very cool. Always got to review a diversity of things because, you know, our indie warriors are interested in many different things.
This is true.
Now, last one, Cloud Gardens for the Nintendo Switch specifically. And this was reviewed by Jay. Have any of us seen or played this?
So here's a fun story about this one. This is actually the second Cloud Gardens review on this channel.
Oh.
Oops. apparently the game came out like 2 years ago on PC and we reviewed it then. It was a reviewer that isn't with the channel currently, but we totally forgot that happened because we didn't do it.
So we put this up and then we're like, oh shit, we've already done this. So there are two different perspectives of this game, one for the Nintendo Switch and one for the PC on the channel, if you care to check out Cloud Gardens.
Yeah, you get all the perspectives. And sometimes I feel like it is important. Like if I had seen a review of Cozy Grove specifically comparing the PC and the Switch port, I would be like, oh, so the Switch port is ass. Let me just wait till my PC is better and not waste my time. But that is in the past. But those of us who are considering, I know we have a Flower Angel Rave. I know that they typically play Switch games because their PC might not can't handle all of the things. So always good to have this different options. And this is a game I'm kind of interested to try out.
It looks really interesting. It kind of reminds me of you know, like the game that was recently announced, The Block. It, like similar to that, like maybe you're trying to like garden-fy like urban areas and like clean it up. So I think it would be really, honestly, if this was like a mobile game, I think that would work perfect if it was a mobile game. Switch, I can see it more so than PC. I feel like this is something that would be handheld. That's why I suggest mobile, but it looks pretty cute. And as far as visual novels are concerned, I feel like art style has come a long way. Like they blink now, right? And they have like facial expressions. And they never used to have that. It was all just pretty art and like, here's this person popping up and they're going to do their dialogue and not move any of their like facial, like nothing. I'm not going to move my face. And then we're going to poof. And then here comes this dude. And then there's two people. And there was a dialogue, but it didn't really have any emotions to it. And so I feel like when visual novels kind of take that step and add, even if it's like an eyebrow like lift or an ear wiggle or something, just making humanizing their characters, I think makes your visual novel go a long way when you're storytelling, because people like that in book, like people like audiobooks and like reading books. And this is kind of like a good mesh in between where it's sort of like a choose your own adventure in a way. You know, a lot of these visual novels, the choices that you make can really sort of change the characters like look, change their attitude, just change the storyline completely. But you're right, like visual novels are really sort of touch and go. If it's voice acting, fantastic. If it isn't, for me as a content creator, it's a lot of reading. You know, if you're having to stream these games, it's a lot of dialogue. So I would have to say that I do appreciate voice actors a little bit more, because I feel like it adds to the story better than it does when there isn't any type of dialogue, like auditory dialogue at all.
Every time I play like a dating sim or a visual novel now, I think about that Santa game that you streamed, Legend, where the guys
too many Santas. Yes.
Too many Santas. Remember the blinking, the unnatural blinking? I think about that regularly.
It's awful. Like I cannot stand, it's really weird to me, like when it makes me uncomfortable when they don't blink, but at least try to like every like just count the seconds like between your own. Like, why can't you just normally like then don't do eye blinking at all. You know, then just don't implement it in your game and raise an eyebrow or wiggle a finger or something. Like have that be that, because every character has like its own like animation, if that makes sense. Like usually like the dude always has like an arm thing or some type of like gasp. And like in My Lovely Wife, even though he didn't have any lips, like you could still get facial expressions and like emotion from these characters. Like no one had lips but the succubi. I wonder why, you know, like, but
that's a metaphor somehow.
Right, first you know, that carnal essence. But I do think that it's really important when you make your visual novels to at least have some sort of something, because then it's just plain without it, I think.
Mm-hmm. But Steam thinks I'm into some really horrific things now because I've played and reviewed visual novels. It's like, here's a game that's just straight up furry porn. That's what you're into, right? I'm like, no. That's what you're into, I'm not judging you. You do you, but I don't mind lewd in a game. I don't want to play a game that's nothing but lewd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
You got to give us some plot with the butts and the boobs and the penis.
Yeah.
Speaking of plot, you want to tell us about Nico's secret room? Are you working on that one?
No. Thankfully, Joe told me I don't have to, but he said to play it a bit for the podcast. So I might have to rag on him later for making me fucking do that, because holy shit, was that such garbage.
I saw I saw the trailer for that and I was like, yeah, that's a hard pass. And he was like, no, someone will like this. I'm like, no one is going to like this. No one here wants to play this. And
listen, I think I like, yes, I like horny games. Love it. Love it. You know, I like them when they're interesting rather than just like, look at anime girl with boobs that touch her knees. Isn't this hot? You're just like, but this one is ass to run. It runs so poorly. And now I know the Switch isn't a powerhouse.
Yeah, this was a Switch game. That okay. Say no more.
Holy crap. And the part that really, okay, so there's like a picture matching part. You go, she can dance. You're in a room. You're a girl. You've got like little fake cat ears, a sweater thing. And then you have four different places in your room and your bathroom. There's a little spot that if you stand by it, she just starts to dance. And of course, it is exactly what you expect of like a horny game of the most gratuitous moves mixed in with, oh, look, she's doing a cute one. Now she's grinding her ass on an invisible person. Look, you can see her underwear. There's like a darts part where you play darts against the PC. No, it's not good. It's awful.
Are they horny darts? Like what's the catch?
No, it's trip just darts? Fucking random it's darts.
Just darts. Oh. Okay.
Can't right, even go on. To the fun aspect of it. Like if you're gonna be horny, own it. Be all in on it. Do strip darts. Yeah, I still don't want to play it, but at least go all in.
That would take more work than they were willing to put in. It was just fucking darts. The third little section in the room is at the computer, and that's where you have pictures of all of the different girls in different states of undress that you slide around to make it turn into the picture of her. And you know, I've got to say, like, who the fuck is buying this? Why? Porn is free. Hentai is free.
It's all free.
It's and this is the worst part, right? So there's three levels. There's like the picture where she's like, you know, in some kind of cutesy or scantily clad outfit, but she's clothed. And you're like, all right, matchy matchy. Once you finish that one, you unlock the version where her tits show. You're like, all right, okay, I see what you're doing. Matchy matchy. The third version, she loses all clothing. But she's got like a white cloud over the privates. And I'm like, why are you cock blocking me at this stage? Let me see it all. What are you? Why are you being a little bit chased now?
Also, what is even the point of unlocking that? Then? What are we even unlocking? We're not unlocking.
Unlocked a cloud?
Thanks. We unlocked the cloud. The pubic cloud.
Nah, these girls got baby vaginas. There's no hair on them. For sure. That's probably a weird thing to say, but I am an adult, I promise. It's not weird. I'm not thinking of it in a weird way. And then the fourth part, that was the part that really I was like, oh man, this is fucking bad and kind of like gives me gross vibes, was when you can change her clothes. So when you go, I immediately saw, of course, there was a boob meter to increase or decrease her breasts. And I was like, this doesn't shock me for these kind of games, right? Whatever. The next one was thighs, which I was like, oh, okay. We're liking thighs now. Good on the world. Yes, you can give her the chonkiest thighs or give her these little toothpick thighs, or you can make her big and small. So if you want to get stepped on, well, you can get big cat girl to step on you. I was playing around the meters while she still had her little sweater dress on. And I was like, all right, okay, you know, I see what this is doing. And I was like, oh, you can change the outfit. So I changed the outfit. And the first one it offers to me is a bikini.
Not a maid outfit? I'm disappointed.
No, there was no maid outfit.
I'm looking at the trailer to it right now. And it's looking at you like describing it so much better than what the trailer is like offering you. But you're right. There's like did you try on the sweater outfit?
Oh, this is uncomfortable.
The standard one, yes. But after I switched to the swimsuit, and I want to see if I can find anyone that shows a clip of that.
I see there's a choice between a bikini and a whole bathing suit.
Yeah.
Shout out Star Shovelware for playing this. We love him. We love you, Luke.
Oh, we know this person? Oh, y'all know this person. Ah, very cool. Well, they're a strong individual for also withstanding this and even making a fucking review. When this outfit, I think, hides it. If I can, I'll see if there's another one, because when you see her in the bikini, she's like a literal fucking hourglass, but like a triangle. It's like triangle top. There's no organs in there. It's just like, and then, and it looks so eerie to me. I was like, oh God, this is the fucking dystopian.
It's like an apple bottom. It's like a petite top with like an apple bottom, but like BBL style, right? Is that what you're thinking? Like, is that how you would describe it? Because I'm looking and I'm paused. I'm paused at the bikini section in the bathroom. That's where she's changing right now. Oh, there's a bikini
section?
Who's and the target audience for this game?
I don't fucking know. Sad children who don't know porn exists.
I was like, just going to say, like, horny people that have access to the eShop, but not access to turning off safe mode on their browser. I don't know.
Why is it even on the Switch, though? Is it just, like, handheld pretend porn?
Okay, Legend. We briefly talked about this in Discord, but have you seen Seven Pirates H yet?
No, I didn't even know these things existed on the Switch.
So I reviewed that one. That one is you level up your pirates by making her boobs bigger. So.
Oh, that's lovely. Really? You have to make your bazonka?
And really? Then you.
All I can think of is back pain.
You do that. It's called booby training.
Oh, booby training. Okay.
Yeah. So you like basically jiggle her boobs around in like different ways.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. Hold on. As you see, you can jiggle the boobs around. I think I know what you're talking about. You have to touch the boobies and jiggle them, right? Yeah. Using like the joystick. Oh, I don't make sense.
You can
like maybe my hand gestures in the podcast. Sorry.
You can use touchscreen as well.
Oh, touchscreen.
There is touchscreen integration.
Nice. If you're I don't want your greasy palms. Ew.
I mean, it's out there. Nintendo has really loosened their guidelines, I guess.
Like, it never would have crossed my mind that Nintendo, like, the N also stands for NSFW.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's crazy. Now I'm like, my girls, I'm like, oh my God, like, what do I need to know? Because Alan's right. Like when you like visual novels on Steam, man, it starts to, I have things that are in my queue. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to see that. Why is that animated? How do they animate these things?
I would stream stuff on Twitch and I had a series I'd call Weeaboo Trash. So I'd find anything that's like a visual novel or dating sim. And one of the first things I did was game in big air quotes called NecroGigi. And it's essentially softcore gay furry porn. And I was so uncomfortable the whole time, but it was hilarious. And I kept doing it because it was just, I'm already in. I might as well see what the end product's going to be. Because
I know what you're talking. Oh my God, Alan, I know what you're talking about.
And it was great because I have a friend who's openly a furry and I had her in the stream with me. She got uncomfortable enough and left. I chased her across Discord servers. I was like, I won't suffer alone because dear God. But ever since then, Steve thinks I'm a filthy degenerate. And I'm like, not that kind of filthy degenerate, Steve.
This is very like homoerotic, but like let's add cat people and it's weird because like as you can see, like scrolling through the page, it's like these cats like they're proportionately bigger than like they would break a human. Like they would like I don't even know how would you like it just first off, like who am I to judge fetishes? Like I'm into some weird shit too, but like I don't know, like, how these games, like, get on the Switch. Why? And like, again, like, maybe, like, their body types are cute. Like, the dragon. How the hell?
Okay.
Is that what?
The picture with the one cat stroking his head, I remember that ending. It's the bad ending. You run off, you do something you're not supposed to, you get hit by a car. And as you're dying, you're having this fantasy of being with this one cat. And, but the big, I just started calling them Buff Boy Thundercats, and that became a thing for a while with my friend group.
because I'm like, what am I playing? And the first time I stopped streaming, I sat in my chair for a good 45 minutes, unable to move because I felt so gross.
So dirty. It made you dirty. Yeah, this is like, this is like Bad Dragon, but a video game. Like, it's crazy weird.
Wait, the plushie is cute though.
It's like the art is amazing. Like, the plushie is cute. I think the art in general is absolutely. I don't know if I could snuggle after playing the video game, like knowing what it. I don't know if I could snuggle with it, but like, I'd have it like on a shelf or something, you know. But I have like flashbacks of the game.
I will give the art credit because I also play major minor, and that's not, that's how not to do one. Then I decided to do a game called Deep Space Waifu. And I stopped 20 minutes in when I realized it's just a space shooter where you're shooting the clothes off anime girls. So I just, I stopped. I was like, oh, it's this. No, I can't do this.
Was she just picking out a wedgie in that last scene?
I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Asking for a friend.
I don't.
Like, as far as gameplay, it's not bad, but that's not, no.
What happened here?
What is this?
Like, I'm fine with doing a next Galgun game if one ever comes out. Like, throw that my way. That's hilarious to me.
Oh my god,
but,
no.
Like, this was uncomfortable.
No. Okay, PSA. If you know a if there is someone in your life that is paying for porn games, stop them. Pull them in for a hug. Tell them you deserve a better FAP than this. You can do better. Let's go to the sex store. Let's something else. Let's print out a picture of a big titty anime girl and put it on your wall. Like, let's get you a body pillow. We've got to raise our standards just a touch.
You can get the booby mouse pads, you know.
All I can think of is the Michael Jordan thing. Stop it. Get some help.
Yes. Yes. Listen to Michael Jordan in this case. Stop. Help your friends. Help yourself if it's you. All right. I think we went down a terrible rabbit hole of weirdness.
I know.
You can't say rabbit hole after looking at 30 images. Please. For the love of God.
Oh my God. Wait, did that show up in a game? No, I was listening to a song and there's a lyric and it's a female artist and she goes, you can suck my rabbit hole.
I mean, I like, you know, sure.
If she has a coaclet, I'm going to be a little concerned, but okay.
A little bit.
All right. Gams, we have several different things to look at. First of all, we have a Silk Song trailer for Hollow Knight. Anyone here has played Hollow Knight?
Good game.
I have. This is a good palate cleanser, I feel like, after everything we just witnessed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look how smooth this animation is. I just want to say, I was watching this trailer in awe yesterday. I mean, it's in like double time right now, so it probably doesn't look as good, but...
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine, but... Like, I love the art so much.
It's a gorgeous game. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, no, it's not double time. That's normal.
Oh, maybe it's just because I'm watching it through Zoom.
It looks amazing. I have not played Hollow Knight, and I have a friend who's currently finally playing it. They're loving it. I just, like, I get a bit intimidated by anything that has platforming. Intimidated / annoyed because I hate platforming. But this visually, oh
yeah, ooh. it's too pretty. You can devote a lot of time to something that looks pretty.
Yeah, I don't mind getting my ass handed to me over and over if the game is pretty looking. So Hollow Knight's hard. Like, I'm not anywhere close to being halfway through the game, but it is a good game. So the Silk Song should be a really good follow-up.
Yeah, people have been asking for this forever. No release date still, but we've got a trailer and it's going to be day one on Xbox Game Pass, which is great for Xbox owners. I'm not one, but...
Yeah, it doesn't help me any.
Good for you if you are. I've heard great things about Game Pass, especially for indies. Even though everybody went through that whole thing where they were canceling Game Pass because there weren't enough AAA titles coming out on it. But you know what?
What? What? What was that?
People were canceling their Game Pass things because they were saying nothing was coming out on it, but really, like, tons of indie games were coming to it, but apparently that's not good enough for some people. So
that is dumb. They need to learn the error of their ways. But now, sensationalized IGN headline: Turtles never releasing DLC facts. They never gay. What?
So basically, IGN put out an article that said that the developers are never going to release DLC for Shredder's Revenge, but the developers clarified that that was not in fact what they said. They just said they don't have plans for it right now, but if the right ideas come along, or you know, they find some good feedback from the folks playing the game, things like that, that they would consider DLC. So IGN just kind of jumped the gun on that one.
Twitter's not been a mess today. Surprised.
What were you saying, Legend? Sorry.
I was going to say Twitter's just been messy. It's been messy today. I don't know what's going on with Twitter. It's like gone crazy. But I think DLC would be a good idea depending on whether or not, like if you were to add, I think, certain sections of maybe like enemies or that type of thing, like if you were to do that and still keep it true to the animated series or the good movie. Not the icky ones. Mm. I think that could work. I mean, but does it really need a DLC, you think? I mean, you can play six people, right?
Yeah, but you never know if they add costumes or whatever.
It's something they could expand on, I think.
Small DLC, like costumes and like alternate skins for the playable characters would be fine. But I think they would benefit from like a $10. Here's some additional levels, because I think the only knock I've seen on the Steam reviews is that it is short, but I'm like, most of your arcade games are short. They only take forever because of difficulty. Right. So I don't really need to play a beat 'em up for 10 hours. Like I don't need a 10-hour story, but I definitely think some, you know, they could benefit from DLC where some additional levels or like a side story. But I'm kind of actually glad to see they're not immediately throwing in paid cosmetics and that kind of stuff. I don't like the modern trend of cash shopping the crap out of every new release.
Yeah. I mean, I personally also like my brawlers shorter. I like it to be like almost like a movie length, you know, like you sit down in one sitting, you play through it, you have a good time, you have a drink with friends and play the game. If it becomes this like really long, drawn out thing where I have to like save and come back to it later, I feel like it loses some of that momentum and it's not as fun. Unless you do play 10 hours at a time, which like no judgment, but like that's not my preferred method of playing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think brawlers like this are made to not necessarily have a story, but just be that brawlers. You know, like I'm sure people, if they wanted to, could maybe adapt their systems, you know, where they have like the Capcom things and you know, maybe have that. I think people would really benefit from that. I could see a lot of people having like tournaments and competition just with the base game itself, but adding too much of a storyline when your game is really just sort of a nostalgia sort of arcade type game, I think it defeats the purpose of a brawler.
Agree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's nice to keep the window open, you know, because you never know.
And listen to your audience too. You know, if the community wants it, you can't really like, if they're loud enough, you know, it's detrimental to you, I think, as a business to ignore them.
And they'll probably go for that versus the alternate costumes. I was just reading this and it makes sense, especially from the gameplay we saw. There's a lot of details. And so whenever you make a change to the design, all the animations have to be updated to the nth degree. Although it sounds cool when they mention here like turtles in trench coats and hats. Apparently that was in the cartoons. Is this correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It was the dumb 80s thing where these giant mutated green things with three fingers are wearing a trench coat and a hat to just disguise themselves as people in New York City and no one.
It totally worked.
And it worked.
Yeah.
I see. Very believable. It's just like the children when they have one on top of the other shoulders with the long trench coat. It's like, I'm an adult. Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, or when a child closes their eyes and you know, is hiding from you, know, but they're still wondering, we're like,
They can't see you, so you can't see them, logically.
Obviously.
All right, and then last store we have to look at is Omori is coming to consoles June 17th.
I want to play this so bad.
I've heard people talk about this and just, like, absolutely just love the way that this game handles the ideas of like mental health and relationships and sense of self, like all of that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, this is one I've wanted to play for a long time. So this coming to consoles is really good news for me because that might give me another chance to play it. Because it's really hard for me to like go back and play stuff that's already come out because there's always like 10 new games that I have to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. But if it's a new game, then I can... can pay attention to it, which is exciting because it looks freaking awesome. I love this art style so much.
This looks good. I like games that deal with psychology, so this definitely looks interesting.
And the art style alone for me is like the major pull, although I guess I'm not super into the little like, what is this, 16-bit, 8-bit, pixel bit sort of style,
pixel bits. But
the pixel bits, the many pixels and the many bits, but this looks very, very cool. Those of us who are console focused, it's coming for you. Get it. Now, last things we have, share what we're looking forward to. What are we looking forward to, y'all?
Oh, God.
Death, obviously.
Yes, the sweet release of death. But more sooner than that, hopefully.
The heat death of the universe.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking forward to game wise next week, but I just played Jumanji, the Switch game with Nox, and her review will be coming pretty soon. But she wanted a player too, so I jumped on that ship. And we played some Jumanji, which was really cool, surprisingly. It's kind of card-based, like card-centric, turn-based combat with a board, which is usually not my vibe, but I'll play anything that Nox tells me to play. So we played it together. And it feels very true to like the original Jumanji movie, if anyone watched it or cares. Without Robin Williams, though, which is a bummer.
Ah. He kind of made that shit to be on. Well, for me.
Yeah, for me, I agree.
I love Robin Williams, but it's pretty good. If you're into that style of gameplay, it's a pretty good game.
Oh, all right. Any others awaiting particular games? I can't really say unless I pull up my Steam wish list. Just insert a million different cozy games, and that is what I am waiting for. Every single one.
Oh, yeah. Coming up soon is Stray, too, which I really want to play. With the cat.
That's the one where you play as a cat, right?
Yes.
That looks interesting. Yes, it is.
With cat.
That one's going to pop off on everybody's streams and channels. Just like, you can be a cat.
Yeah.
A cat. I like it because it has sort of like that cyberpunk retro feel to it with the art style. Like it reminds me a lot of Tales of the Neon Sea, which was developed, or I think was published by Rose City Games, I believe, or one of those. But it gives me that kind of like art style vibe, which is really cool. I'd like it in the perspective of, there's also this other cat, what's it called? Like big, like kitty in the big city, something like that too, which every time I see like the
little kitty,
yeah, big kitty, little city, bam, that's what it is.
No, little kitty, big city.
Super cute, hella. Yeah, that game's freaking adorable.
Oh my god,
it's adorable.
A release date yet, but it's absolutely flipping adorable. And he just cruises the town. I think Stray is more of like an action adventure type game too, in the perspective of a cat, which I think, you know what it reminds me of? When those cats have them GoPros.
Oh my god, yes.
That's what it reminds me of. But yeah, that game is really, that game looks so cute. I like the game that I'm looking forward to the most, I would have to say, is the Grid Forest Mask of the Goddess. Beacon Pines is one of my favorites, but that it doesn't even have a release date yet. I love Beacon Pines. I think that's the cutest game ever. And I've been so much like in their stories and on their Twitter page, like since they, said that they were going to, I think Fellow Traveler is going to publish their game, so I'm looking forward to that. But I like Grid Forest Mask of the Goddess, which I think is going to come out sometime in August, which is the same time I think that Validate's going to come out, and I'm excited for that too. I haven't played the demo yet, but I haven't. But I like Grid Forest Mask of the Goddess. I'm not really big on the whole turn-based tactic game, but I really like this storyline. specifically, because I love how she just gets the masks and it empowers her. And then you end up like hooking up with the team. It's very sort of a strategic thinking and has that like RPG sort of feel to it. So I'm excited for that one, especially.
I have not heard of this one. This looks very, very cool.
Super cool. It was actually announced during the, I think Guerrilla Collective was what it was, but it's been out or talked about. I mean, it's so funny because like those of us that are in like the indie news and stuff, like we hear about these games, we see these games like way before a lot of the everyone else does, like the normies, you know, see all these gameplays and stuff. But so Grid Force has been talked about for a while. The demo is available now, I think, during the Steam Fest, and it does have full controller support. And I think you can do local co-op play once you do build a team, but it doesn't have anything that's online right now.
Very, very cool. I'm saving this here on the must-have so I can come back and add it to my wish list. Before we go, let's go over the community poll. So we asked this week, we want to know, has the fandom for a game ever made you not want to play it? So some interesting responses here. Synaptic Mulch says, for me, it's not exclusively fandom, but the media hype trains for a few selected developers. Some are just treated like gods for some reason. Hideo Kojima being a prime example. Yeah. I agree.
Agreed wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Ever since, what was it? The fucking, the last Snake Man game, Metal Gear. Yes, that's the word. There's a character who like her clothes come off when it rains or something. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, what the fuck? And then there are people online trying to fight it. And I'm like, man, please. A human male made this. We know the real reason why that mechanic exists.
I would have to say that with Destiny 2, right? Like people go, like it's either they like certain things, they don't like certain add-ons, it, like slight changes, and the whole thing just goes, Twitter just goes into an uproar. Like Destiny 2 fans are hard. They're hardcore. That and Smash Bros. Too. Not that like I pay attention to a lot of the AAA stuff, but yeah, they go hard when it comes to when they add new fighters to it. They're very specific about who they like added and who they don't like added and buffs and stuff. It's crazy.
Damn. I did not know this. The only time I've had experience with like a annoying fandom was Overwatch.
Yeah.
And there's this amount of good people and then just and then there's everyone else is a piece of shit. Yeah, either join them or die.
A lot of the times the problem is when something gets super popular, it has this huge fan base, which means that like, yeah, there's going to be plenty of great people who like it, but there's also going to be just as many shit people who like it. And sometimes the shit people are a lot louder, you know, but like it definitely does deter people from wanting to, at least it definitely deters me from wanting to play something when you see like this toxicity online surrounding it and you're like, ooh, is everybody who plays it like that? I don't want to be associated with that. That's probably not the case.
I think one of the problems that, because I see it, I used to play Dead by Daylight. I love hate relationship with that game.
Right,
that's the worst one.
But the game has so many issues that just take me out of it. As I've gotten older, I've kind of like I can like something but still be critical of it, or I can just go, hey, I walked away from Dead by Daylight because I'm like, I don't enjoy this. It's not fun. It's incredibly toxic. They're essentially devouring themselves with the monetization. So I'm like, I'm just going to let people that like it play it and I'm going to walk away. But it was a lot of people just attaching their ego to the game. I'm like, I'm criticizing a game, not you as someone who likes it. Like, I think, and sometimes people can't disconnect from that.
It's really weird how, and this actually, you know, goes far beyond just like games, whether it's like sports games or video games, how people attach themselves to something, a product, a company, anything. Just be like, if you attack this, you attack me. It's like,
yeah, they really make it part of shareholder identity. Yeah. It's like, you are not the game. You are not that movie. You are not that series. Like there is so much more to you than this one thing. It's not a personal attack on you.
We'll just chalk it up to either immaturity, which I would say there's a lot of young people or younger on Dead by Daylight, at least when I played, or just they're a little bit smooth brained and haven't learned deep-seated shame yet. So time will eventually win that battle. I can only hope.
Or maybe they just haven't learned that their self-worth lies outside of how highly ranked they are in a video game, you know?
That is saddest part.
Yeah, they get so sweaty. It's so bizarre to me. And then if you deter from their opinion or their game plan, it's just like, oh, that's one of the reasons why I don't. Like when you were mentioning Dark Souls, it's really hard when you play an indie game and it's Souls-like because everyone wants to be like, you know, it's Souls. Like, where does that term come from? Well, it comes from, you know, Dark Souls pretty much, you know, because you have to do a lot of dodging, a lot of parrying, a lot of whatever. And so it's funny how when you describe a game and you add like certain terms to it or just certain verbiage, everyone's like, oh, okay. And it's like, really? Like, you know, but then they compare it too much to that game. And it's like, yo, it's an indie, like relax, you know, like Tunic is a Souls-like game. It's a lot of dodging and parrying, but like, it's a little fox guy trying to like navigate this new place. Why you got to be all like judgy, you know, like I judge it for it. Why? It's crazy. I don't like it.
I feel like it's people who haven't played enough games perhaps to be like, you know what? There's a lot of different things that are trying to do different things. So, you know, you'll enjoy it in different ways. They'll scratch various itches. You can't expect every game to function like one, like keep play the same game then. You can't make every game be the same. Just keep playing Call of Duty forever. Okay.
Actually, my entire identity to how good my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are. So if you come for my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, we're going to have a problem.
Wait, right, first, write is that crunchy down. Or smooth?
It's smooth. It's always
smooth. Got that carnal essence. I love that game so much. Like, I want to play it offline, but I can't because I only have like 7 more succubi to unlock and I'll have like the full 20. And then I can dive more into the storyline. But I'm like, I have to stream myself unlocking these 7 succubi because I feel like it would be a disservice to not show y'all like the beauty of these succubuses or succubi. Yes. I'm sorry.
You gotta succubi it up and just do it.
I do. Like, it's so funny too because this one, I don't even remember who I named her after, but she was like, ooh, it smells like carnalescence. And I'm like, well, you're not wrong.
Honey. Damn.
You know, I was like, why do you gotta keep talking about it? And I was like getting grossed out. I'm like, stop saying that. Stop saying that, please. I don't wanna know. Stop it. I'm sorry, Joe.
It's been a great conversation.
Sorry, Joe.
Joe, I'm not sorry. This is what you get for giving me that damn weird cat girl shit.
This is what you get for letting me be on. So this is all on you, Joe.
Sorry, revenge. All right, everyone. Well, this is where we shall all depart. Goodbye, our indie warriors and fans. Thank you for coming. And by coming, I mean virtually to this podcast. Be sure to come back. Goodbye, everyone.